Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for May 21st, 2011. And today I'll be interviewing Scott Davis on conscious evolution via the Mayan calendar. Scott has been a real kind of a guru on the subject for some time. There is an introduction to Scott on the website, Cosmic Love website. Most of you have probably read that already. Those who are listening to the archived version in the future, of course, the information debriefing Scott and where he's coming from, his experience with the Mayan calendar in depth since 2006, his travels to India, and his basically searching for truth through yoga, his work as a clinical social worker, studies of the mysteries of life. Scott's got an interesting journey, and he's been a real devotee on this subject, tuned into it by way of Carl Johan Kalman, who's considered, at least by myself, one of the leading gurus on the subject, and Barbara Hanclough, and also Lundgold. How do you say his name? Are you there, Scott?
Yeah, Ian Zell Lundgold.
Yes, and I actually have given the shows before, and put his links of like 9 short YouTube videos up on the website. You can actually search Google and get those videos. There are YouTube videos, and it's a phenomenal lecture that he gave up in Alaska to largely some Native Americans up there on the subject of the Mayan calendar, and is a real good basic grounding of the subject. Good introduction to the subject. That was quite a few years ago. Carl Kalman has really taken it to the next level, you might say. And Barbara Hanclough, who's another one of the leading experts on this subject, has done a book largely based on Carl Kalman's work on the Mayan calendar. And Scott has been basically surfing the tsunami of information on this subject. And Scott, I wanted to go into this basic understanding of the Mayan calendar, and I have some questions that I wanted to ask you. Coming from a person that's just coming at this initially and trying to tune into what this timeline is and what this progression of understanding of the historical timeline, going back to basically the creation of life on Earth, which I understand the Mayan calendar really in its larger cycles, within cycles, within cycles, takes in within 9 waves or 9 stages of evolution, goes back to the very beginning of the evolution of life. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, yes, you are. First of all, the Mayas had many calendars, when we're talking about the 9 level calendar, the 9th wave calendar, that's the Ian Lundgold called it the Toon calendar. It's called the Bakhtun calendar, and that's the one that Carl Johan Kalman's research has really brought more to the mainstream, and really been able to pinpoint these transitions of each cycle and show the data that supports the timeline that his model proposes. There's many different calendars to the Maya,
What I understand is that when there's multiple calendars, for example, there's one calendar that deals with what we call the precession of the equinox, which is about 25,000 years. Mm-hmm. And they have like a whole calendar that is inclusive with that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And they've kind of broken it down. I mean, there's larger cycles. Eden Skye references the first show I had in the of this year, 2011, and she talked about a little bit of the larger cycles, and she actually told me, and it's on her website, that the Poco Power, I'm not sure how you pronounce the name, but one of the real founders of the Mayan calendar, actually there was 4 star people that visited him, gave him this information, on the larger cycles, which I thought was kind of interesting.
And even working with the Tune calendar, I mean, it's first and most basic, the first level of the Tune calendar, it is 16.4 billion with a B years long.
Yeah.
And we're still at the very end of that calendar, at the end of that cycle, as we're at the end of eight of the levels, and we're currently moving through the universal ninth wave, ninth level, and we're in the fifth out of 13 stages of that cycle.
Now, I noticed on your YouTube video that I posted up on the Cosmic Club website, you have a basic rendering of that. I've also got some recent articles I did on my on my websites, which I've archived down on the Cosmic Love webpage, where I include the graphic and the links of Kalaman and his articles with the graphic showing the Mayan pyramid and the nine steps of the Mayan pyramid as corresponds to these nine larger waves of evolution.
Correct, yeah.
And what's interesting to me, as I understand it, and I heard it again today, is that each of these steps is 20 times shorter than the previous one, correct?
That's absolutely correct. For instance, in November last year, we entered into the seventh day, the final stage of the eighth level, the galactic level, which began January 5th, 1999. And during that time frame, section of it was which we look talk about it being a day and a night. Each one of those was 360 days long. Right now, in the universal cycle that we began March 9th, 2011, that same amount of change that used to take 360 days is happening every 18 days.
And this is amazing to me, because this understanding that of these nine steps of the pyramid going back billions of years, mm-hmm. this last step, this last wave, the ninth wave, mm-hmm. is all intercepted in the year 2011, began March 11th and is finishing about October 28th.
Correct. It's 234 days.
234 days.
Yeah.
And that there are these waves within that wave, you might say, or this final ninth wave, and there's they're called day and night cycles of this wave, just like a sine curve, you might say.
Right.
And as this wave progresses, like we're right now in like the third, just the beginning of the third day of how many
days? Yeah, the third day began yesterday.
Began yesterday. And there's how many days in this ninth wave? There's
How many days?
Segments or waves?
There's 13 segments, and they're broken down into 7 days and six nights. So
That's right. And
right.
We're just beginning the third.
You were just beginning the third day of the ninth wave universal cycle. We're in the seventh day of all the levels below that. And so all the levels, all nine levels, end on the same day, which is October 28, 2011.
And what's interesting to me, and this was referenced again today, is that every wave now, every cycle that we're in, as for example, we just began the third wave cycle, and there's an energy associated with it. There's a process associated with it. There's a thing going on that's associated with it that resonates with the same phase, the same, you might say, day-night cycle, going back all of the other, of the nine steps of the pyramid and going back through history. It resonates with what was going on at that same time. It's almost like a holographic synchronicity of some
kind. Absolutely, yep.
And this is amazing to me. In other words, I mean, we understand that there is no time or space in the quantum universe.
Right.
And our
right.
and our limited 3D consciousness, you know, tries to frame everything in terms of our limited frames of reference. But as we go into this, as Kalman refers to it, especially in this ninth wave, as a unity consciousness, mm-hmm. there's awakening to the synchronicity of how it's all connected back and resonating with and almost like triggering the momentum of these previous cycles going back thousands, millions, billions of years, and the stages of those cycles we're in right now, and that there's a resonance with that. I've gotten into quantum physics enough to know that this makes sense when you tune into it from a multiple perspective or a multidimensional, you know, and it requires getting out of 3D.
Right, right. And you know, I think that, you know, this information, I mean, in my video series that I have out, the prenatal care for the birth of a new world age, which is out on YouTube and Facebook, the important thing is that I'm trying to get this information out to the most people I can, because I just can't even imagine going through these cycles and the changes and everything that's happening and not knowing why it's happening or what's happening.
Right.
You know,
that's one thing that Barbara, she had this conference call that she had today, mm-hmm. Which you and I were both on earlier in today. Barbara
right.
Handclaw had this amazing conference call, and she gave it a little bit of an orientation, and we can go through some of that in the time that we have left. And what was going on at, you might say, day one of this cycle, which was back in March 11th.
Well, actually, it started March 9th.
March 9th, and right after it began was the Japanese earthquake.
Well, and that actually, there was an earthquake on the same fault line on March 9th.
On March 9th, yeah.
So it actually the earthquake that you know became the tsunami and all that on the 11th really it was beginning its cycle on the 9th.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and then the other thing that's interesting, because on the 11th, that's when Uranus, which is this astrological planet of disruption and chaos,
right.
and moved into Aries.
That's
so,
right.
So,
the
you know,
initiator.
You know, and to me, that's the thing that fascinates me the most is I love looking at patterns of mystical thought.
Yeah, archetypes.
That are not rooted in the same foundation yet yield the same information.
Yeah.
You know, because there's nothing about the Mayan calendar, this Toon calendar that we're talking about, that's connected to astrology. Yet the astrological evidence and you know what we're seeing as far as the
yeah.
transits absolutely matches the pattern of what's being described you know in this time acceleration that Carl Kalman's research talks about.
Well, I'm amazed with this also. It's a language I speak. I've done advanced astrology work, taught workshops on it for 20 years, and Barbara Handclaw also brings in the astrology, psychology of what's going on with the harmony of the spheres, you might say.
Yes.
And to me, I have a special astrology program with the pattern recognition and being able to see patterns with the planets and galactic center and understand that there is a method to the madness. I mean, you know, the universe is in divine order, and what's happening is natural.
Absolutely, you know, and you know, like when we look at the peak of you know when we're getting into the fifth day, which is usually the biggest opening for consciousness in any of the cycles, you know, whatever level you're looking at on the nine level Toon calendar, the fifth day is always a huge opening for consciousness. Well, that's also going to be the point where Pluto will be as close to an exact square to Uranus that we get this year. And then it will have seven exact points between 2012 and 2015.
Even within this year and in the final ninth wave of the Mayan calendar, which ends again on October 28th, the fifth night begins, and I don't have the chart in front of me, but when is that?
It's the peak of the fifth day. Is July 4th.
July 4th, seriously. That's the peak of July 4th. Boy, we're talking about independence here.
Yeah. the peak is July 3rd, July 4th, is going to be the peak of that opening for consciousness. And it's also right around that time that the Uranus-Pluto square gets as close as it's going to being exact this year, and then they retrograde away from each other, and then they're exact seven times between 2012 and 2015.
That's interesting. See, I believe the greatest mysteries are veiled in paradox, and that if around July 4th we have a true declaration of interdependence on the United States of Love.
I like where you're going.
Then all that's less than love is going to come up for transmutation.
In other words,
this is, it's like point counterpoint, or it's all part of the day cycle and the night cycle. Light and darkness. But I know that Barbara, on the show today, the teleconference, she was talking. Mm-hmm. Someone came in and talked about what's going on, with the fifth night destruction, which is kind of a keynote with Pluto.
Right,
and it's also a keynote that keyword signature, just like the time right now was sprouting
the cycle
that we're in, and in the keyword kind of a keyword for the fifth night is destruction, and so that would be like July, August cycle, and she talked about how we're talking about perhaps a economic collapse, destruction, transmutation. And perhaps the earthquakes and the weather really being activated, but the money systems themselves, some kind of call it judgment, or that when I say judgment in terms of that it really hitting the wall of where it's been going as far as being bankrupt.
Well, to me, that's Pluto and Capricorn.
That's Pluto and Capricorn, right?
It's the old school, the established foundations, and Pluto coming through, and moving through in a place of death and rebirth. But also, Pluto is the most powerful planet of all the planets. And so it's about people being called on. Like, all the systems that are going away are systems of disempowerment.
Right.
The banking system, is one person over another. Huge religion is one person over another. Like, you have to go through this other thing to get to God.
Hierarchical systems versus...
Right.
Nonlinear, decentralized systems.
Right, and government. Government is another Capricorn. So basically, Pluto moving through those systems is to break down those systems to to me are systems of oppression. And through that transformation, then we all become empowered. I mean, to me, this cycle is really about it's about the birth of a new world age. This calendar is basically a map of 16.4 billion year pregnancy, and the ninth level to me is the actual birth process of going through,
and we're in the final ninth wave now.
That's right. That's right. That's the 234 days from March 9th to October 28th. And then October 29th, that is the beginning of the New World Age.
It was interesting, her words that she used today when Barbara Hanclaw was talking about what we're going through, understanding the timing right now. And this is what's unique about Kalaman, and the way he has taken the understanding of the Mayan calendar in terms of cosmic cycles within cycles, and we're talking about planetary, and all you know, and how there is—it's like a clock. The heavens are like a cosmic clock, and understanding the timing with the astrology, psychology, physiology, you might say, where the mm-hmm. where the rubber meets the road is how this you know these energetic aspects of our universe and our solar system translates to physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And she has some really interesting keywords that she was referencing. Some of the things that really fascinated me was how she talked about Teilhard Chardin, who's a French anthropologist or scientist, mm-hmm. and he referred to it as a new genesis. And she said that he was one of the people of the past that was really kind of tuned into what was going on in the collective consciousness of
right.
humanity,
mm-hmm.
and how this movement towards of a universal law, which the Christians would refer to as the second coming of Christ in the collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a person, and again, they tend to anthropomorphize and personalize the concept of Christ as being an individual, but mm-hmm. the concept of the Mayan calendar is and the words that Kalaman uses, Carl Kalaman, is universal integration. In other
right.
words, the individual, our own higher self, or our own Christ self, or our own real self, integrating with this a collective conscience. And again, Chardin referred to the new genesis or newosphere. The word he used was newosphere with this spherical consciousness,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you might say, truly spiritual or intuitive. And this concept of we're moving towards an intuition, a knowing, just a non-linear knowing that's not of the linear 3D consciousness, but of a more of a 4D, 5D synchronicity. Here now, just a knowing that's beyond, you might even say, the linear reason and logic.
Right. I think that, I think that one of the things, when you're talking about the collective consciousness, that's really, in Barbara Hanclaw's teachings, that's the fourth dimension. And that's really polarized, and that's really, to me, one of the things that I've been talking about is, really kind of unplugging from the media. Because I think that the global elite and, all those systems, I mean, because I believe that all those Capricornian systems that we're talking about that are going away know this information.
Yeah.
Barack Obama starting a war on the equinox, just like George Bush started a war on the equinox, tells me that and believe me, I held out for a long time, but it basically told me that the global elite is the global elite is the global elite, and
the Illuminati.
Yeah, but the point of it is when we watch a lot of television news or we're inundated, I believe we need to be informed.
We plug into that, yeah.
And it affects our emotions, so we empower that polarity.
Right.
And so, I mean, I unplugged the TV back in July of last year, and instead I go and plug into going out and looking at the stars at night.
Yeah.
It's
called a media fast.
Yeah, and to me the important thing is what we want to create here in the third dimension we can do by our fascinations. know, the things that we really are fascinated with create sacred geometry in the sixth dimension, which replicates down here in the third dimension.
Right.
And that's actually part of the way that the global elite keeps control over what's going on, you know, is if the technology keeps staying interesting in the art of war, then people become fascinated with that, and it puts those sacred geometries in the sixth dimension to replicate in the third dimension.
In other words, they manipulate the matrix by using, you might say, cosmic law to hook people into the problem, the fear matrix, which then they become part of the problem, and they go into the fear matrix, and rather than focus on the solution, with basically transcending or transmuting old institutional institutional forms that no longer serve the purpose for which they were created. And Barbara talked about nuclear power, and she talked about other systems of power. You could talk about the medical industrial complex that makes a killing, or the military industrial complex that makes a killing on whether it's
literally
with drugs or with war or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they keep people fascinated with the glamour of the media and the humor of the mindless stuff on sitcoms or whatever, and continue programming them with the big lie, which is so big and so bold and so often told that people believe it.
Right.
So in other words, what you're saying is that you've unplugged from that so that you can become more part of the solution than part of the problem.
Right, and then really living every day in my fascination, you know, whether it's studying, you know, multidimensional, you know, things, or right now, human design has just become my latest passion, which is a system that merges astrology with the I Ching, the Kabbalah system, and a 9-centered chakra system, which is the latest mutation that actually came in 1781.
You know, I got back into that with Ralph Messner's Maps of Consciousness back in the 70s, and he got into the archetypes of the Tarot, the I Ching, astrology, modern psychology with Jung, and he integrated in terms of these ancient and modern maps of consciousness that have the same archetypal patterns.
Right.
And that is the geometry, which I refer to as the geometry of divinity, G-O-D, or geometrically ordered divinity, G-O-D. Mm-hmm. And that real love, cosmic love, divine love, is that frame of reference, which is the archetypes of wholeness or holiness or healing that we can step down in with frames of reference that build the kingdom consciousness, emerging blueprint for a golden age, unity conscience, universal co-creation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you on that page. And
absolutely.
What you're saying is you've gone down the rabbit hole to Wonderland, and you just prefer Wonderland.
Well, you know, but the interesting thing is what happens in Wonderland replicates in 3D.
It replicates in 3D. Yeah.
You know, and so in some ways, when you're living in 3D and you can't get beyond the fourth dimension, you can't get beyond the collective unconscious, you're trapped by the media.
Right.
Then you have less power in 3D than somebody who's gone down the rabbit hole.
Right. That's right.
Because we all get one vote in the sixth dimension. Doesn't matter if you're the head of the biggest corporation on the planet or you're, you know, a guy like me living out in the woods in Maine, you know, we all get the same one vote.
When you say vote, you mean you're resonating at a level of the sixth dimension. There is a resonance in, no, I understand fifth dimension is kind of a unity consciousness of a truly universal.
Right. That's the Palladian realm. Yeah, the sixth dimension is sacred geometric forms. And
archetypes,
and basically the way there's a book about Plutonia from or Platonia from Plato, in Barbara's book The Alchemy of Nine Dimensions, she goes into great detail, and then with some physicist that's actually done all these calculations and can prove this stuff. But the interesting thing is there's a mist that sort of manifests these forms, and basically it would be like, you know, because there's a sacred form of a cow in the sixth dimension, we have cows in the third dimension. But when we're in our fascinations, it creates the mist that kind of that pulls together these forms that replicate in the third dimension, and I think that a lot of the global elite, a lot of people in power know this, so they try to steer people's fascinations towards what they want to create.
It's like Obama continuing to talk about Osama, like, you know, he took him out, and they're winning the war.
Right.
Over and over, it's like the media is just like, they want to maintain the matrix that, you know, this actually happened, and it's
right.
Like this, and it's becoming very clear to a large percentage of the population that this is mythology, that he really did die back in 2011, as Fox News reported back then.
Right, you know, buried at sea, so nobody will ever know.
Yeah.
But, there used to be a movie a long time ago called Wag the Dog, you know.
Was the great one with Dustin Hoffman.
Keep spinning it fast enough, nobody can keep up. But, you know, the one thing that I really like that Barbara talked about is because there's such a density in the event field that we've had since we've come into the universal underworld.
That's
and,
right.
and if you think
now
about it,
explain that universal underworld. See, a lot of people don't understand
okay.
that term.
It's also the ninth wave.
The final ninth wave, yeah.
The final ninth wave. So think about March 9th, 2011. I mean, can you think of a week, you know, or a couple of weeks where there was, you know, a major
event
being the tsunami, and then the Middle East blew up, and then the meltdown, and then we go into war,
it just hit the rate of acceleration. And I wrote about this back in February.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone else did some YouTube videos. I can't remember his name right off. And put it up on the website, and wrote about back in February that hold on to your hats, this is going to be one heck of a year.
It's been like that
before.
Right. I mean, I started doing my videos like January 3rd, so I was starting to do that, you know. And those old ones, I mean, there's ones out there that have had like 82 hits and things like that, but then there's some, you know, more recent ones that have had 1,000, so,
It's really, it's going exponential right now, and matter of fact, it's speeding up in the terms, but a lot of people are waking up. The acceleration, I really believe, and I sometimes refer to the compression of time.
Yeah.
But the concept is when things are speeding up as far as the rate of change, the only way to keep on top of it is to accelerate your intuition.
Right.
Or you know what I mean? It's just like
intuition is a survival instinct.
Intuition
is only in the now. You can't intuit anything, you know. I mean, it was designed to keep us safe.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is if you don't pay attention to your intuition, it's on to the next thing.
Yeah.
You know, because so intuition, you know, we all have intuition.
Right.
Some of us just don't choose to follow it. But, you know, the thing about the acceleration and what Barbara was saying that I liked is the media tends to filter out certain things in order to control the masses.
That's
and
right.
what's happening is where the event field is so dense and it's happening so quickly, they're having much more difficulty filtering.
That's right.
You know,
and their tactic is typically to take a subject like Osama bin Laden and never question the basic premise of it, and just delve into it in such great detail, based on the assumption that they actually took him out here recently when he died in 2011, and with so much information that's so overwhelming, you don't even hold on to the assumption anymore that they really did take him out.
Right.
I mean, you just go along with it, and it's right out of the playbook of Hitler. You know, again, if the big lie is big enough and bold enough and told enough, people will believe it. And it's, but that whole strategy is wearing thin, because you say the event density is accelerating so fast right now, and there are so many things
they can't keep up with it.
That's right.
You know, there's not time to spin these things. I mean, they still do, but not the way they used to polish this apple. I mean, 9/11 went on and on and on and on and on as far as the media coverage went for that. You know,
and I remember how many years it was after that before people started questioning the basic premise on the internet. Do you remember that? It was like,
oh yeah.
It was years before people got over the PTSD of this event, this shock in the collective consciousness, the shock and awe, and it was the same shock and awe strategy they used in the Iraq War, and it was like they were right out in the open with it that this is shock and awe
What they're doing, where they're trying to keep us traumatized,
right,
and in fear,
right,
and so. As long as they keep drilling, you know, because I remember, I watched the Twin Towers go down, like, you know, hundreds of times.
But they didn't show the third Twin Towers going down.
But every time, it damaged to who I was, you know. Every time, I felt the emotions. Of watching that experience. And so, you know, and that's what the media tends to do. They find something horrible, and then they play it, and they play it, and they play it. Well, what's happening now is the events are just happening so quickly that they can't spend, you know, as much time overplaying it, or maybe they are, and I'm not watching it anyway.
And the internet's a whole other dimension of this. This is where it's nonlinear, and they can't really control what's going viral on the internet.
Right.
And so you've got almost like we're back to polarity versus duality. You've got the function of the internet, which is instant everywhere and interactive globally in a nonlinear way, and you've got then the hierarchical institutions, which, you know, with the one-way centralized top-down programming of the mass media's mass mind, and it's like there's a check and balance going on here. And what's happening is the internet is like a function of the intuition. It's nonlinear. You know, it's not logical. It's and everything is moving more in the direction, and Kalman talks about this. It's moving from the left brain to the right brain, because right brain's the domicile of intuition, you might say.
Right, and actually that's a whole, that's a major theme in the mutation that's discussed in human design. But that, you know, if so like, you know, basically the seven-centered being, you know, when you think of the seven-centered chakra being, is a left-minded, strategic, active brained, in, you know, and that began with Cro-Magnon. Okay?
Right.
Neanderthal was a five-centered being and was right-minded. Okay? Receptive. You know, and what we're seeing is we changed in 1781 with coincidental to the discovery of Uranus, which is when we shifted from being Saturnian beings to becoming Uranian beings. You know, life cycles instead of 30 years of 80 plus years.
Right.
With that mutation, we're moving towards the next shift is actually in 2027. According to human design, where it will really be, we'll be back to right-minded. And what you see is that where we're seeing that mutation is autism spectrum disorders, you know.
Full spectrum disorder, they call it.
Yeah, well, autism, Asperger's. PDD, pervasive developmental delay, they're all part of this autism spectrum of disorders, and they're all heavily right-minded. And what we're seeing is we're getting more and more children who are right-minded and right-brained. And our education system is not at all prepared.
It's left-brain dominant. It's left-brain logical.
Absolutely. And these children don't learn that way.
It's the letter of the law that kills the spirit of the law. But we don't have an education system that the culture's effective sensory perception, ESP.
Right. No, I mean, you know.
Shishida method, for example, the Japanese have this. It's called the Shishida method. There's different methods of education. The culture right-brained it in intuition. But in America, you know, these are rarities, you know, to hear about.
Right, well, right. And so we label them as a disorder.
Instead of actually looking
at what's... Right, right, because you know, these, I mean, I'm heavily right-brained and right-minded. I'm a very receptive person. You know, this stuff flows. I mean, I don't sit there and study anything. I would sleep in classes, and I would receive the information, and I'd wake up, and they'd ask me about something when I was sleeping, and I'd be able to say, oh, it's this, you know, and I'd pick it up while I was sleeping, because that's receptivity. It's strategic.
I learned how to dream with my eyes open, so they didn't know I was someplace else.
They knew I was someplace else.
Well, anyway, you know, I work consciously and trying to balance this, and I think this is really, you know, and Barbara talked about this. She said there are master triggers or master switches, and
yep.
These master switches are really back in the archetypal domain, the archetypal, you know, sixth dimensional, and these master switches. I reference it as the love model, and you take the with geometry, and the L is a block L, and so it's linear, left brain, logical, letter of the law,
right.
Which, you know, can be, you know, the higher mental body in a logical way can be a real good tool, but there's also the zero is the spherical consciousness, you might say the newest sphere, which is nonlinear. It's the spherical intuition. It's right brain.
Yep.
And then you've got the V, which is like a triangle with the tip down. It's like at the top you have the L on the left and the O on the right, and you have the brain switching. The corpus callosum does the brain switching, you know, the biological model between the two hemispheres, and that's the creative process. It's the learning process. It's the processes of consciousness whereby, you know, we take the linear left brain and the nonlinear right brain, and we co-create with God, the geometrically ordered divinity.
Yeah.
And the E is back to the maps of consciousness, what I was referring to, the maps of consciousness of Metzner. And he did his book called Maps of Consciousness, which is a classic back in the 70s, which gets into all of the, you know, ancient and modern maps of consciousness, and they all, you know, whether you're talking about the Tarot or all these, you know, astrology, psychology, Jung, there's these four archetypes, and you've got the pyramid, you know, looking, that's the E in the love model. You look down on the pyramid, and there's a cross through the center as you look down on it, and that's the capstone. The whole point is the point in the middle, which is like fifth dimensional consciousness. So you got the four dimensions and the fifth dimension, which is an integration that Kalman refers to as what's going on in the ninth dimension. It's integration of all the dimensions, all the whole history, the nine steps, the nine waves of the Mayan calendars, coming to a conclusion where there's that capstone consciousness, you know, an intuitive knowing that's greater than all than the sum of the parts. You know?
Absolutely, you know, and that's the point of the completion of this calendar is right now we're in the greatest opening for consciousness ever in this universe,
and it is
preparing us. Yep. For this whole new world. There's, you know, this is not death, doomsday, and the end. This is the beginning of,
of a golden Aquarian dispensation of divine law, of the millennial dispensation. I really believe that, you know, that the energies of Aquarius, freedom and love, in love. You know, there's a. It's like the freedom and the spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual. And yeah. there's a freedom that's liberating in that consciousness. It's really, as Barbara said, this is an amazing, wonderful time to be alive.
Yeah, no, this is an amazing time to be alive. I mean, this is a once in many, many lifetime opportunity, and that's why I've been doing the New World Birth and the prenatal care for the Birth of a New World Age videos. Is, you know, if you don't know what's going on, this could be just the worst experience of many lifetimes. But if you do know what's going on and you know how to work with the energy, then this is an opportunity to have amazing growth.
Progress,
you know, and to me, the more people that we can bring along on this journey, the better for everyone.
I agree. Yeah. How do people find your Facebook page on this? How would they do that?
Well, the Facebook page is just New Space World Space Birth. Just search on that and it's there. YouTube is also New World Birth. All the videos that I put up there, and I'm just about to do number 12 for the 26th of this month.
You can just Google New World Birth.
New World Birth on Facebook or search for that on YouTube, and the videos are called Prenatal Care for the Birth of a New World Age, because I want everybody to know what's happening at what point so that they can use that energy to maximize this experience. And also for those people who are struggling with it, to know, you know, because one of the things I'll always do is I'll say, look, there's only this many more days that we're going to go through this.
Yeah, and it's going to get really interesting. It's interesting to me, and you talked about this originally, that, you know, seeing the patterns, like pattern recognition and connecting different disciplines. It's really interesting to me that I've been tracking a whole different discipline, you know, for years, and I'm connected with people that are really into that understanding as relates to the Mayan calendar. But they're not into the Mayan calendar. But it's very interesting to me that the same end date cycle, completion of this final ninth wave of the Mayan calendar on October 28th, is almost the exact time that this is referred to Nibiru, Planet X, or Alanine, is going to do its flyby and be closest to the Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, whoa, you know, how come no one's talking about that?
Well, you know.
You know, I mean, the connection.
Yeah, you know, to me, it's I would if I knew more about it, but I will research it.
So if people, I'm going to have to do a wrap now, and we're going to have a little I'm going to have a little canned meditation here that I've developed for the end of the show. But if people go to your that video link I provided on the website,
if they watch that one, then
they'll have other links from that they can go to see your other material.
Right. That one will take them right to the most recent prenatal care for the Birth of a New World Age segment that I put up on the 13th. But, you know, from there, you know, even if they're checking out this as an archive show, look for more recent shows. Like I said, on the 26th of May, I'll be putting up another one, and they go up every 13 days because I'm doing them on the pattern of each Zol King round, which is the Zol King is yet another Mayan calendar. So
I'm calendar the calendar.
Yeah, it's the day sign calendar.
Well, Scott, I am so grateful you're on the show today.
Thank you. It's been a blessing for me.
Oh, thank you so much, and I'd like to thank everyone for listening. And happy trails. We'll see you in a couple weeks. And God bless you all. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
See you now.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention, because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.